Our scripture reading today will come from the book of Acts, chapter 1. Please feel free to turn to Acts chapter 1 and follow along reading verses 1 through 14. Acts is the companion book giving the historical settings of the letters making up the most of the New Testament written by Paul, Peter, Jude, James, and John. Dr. Luke, the writer of the Gospel of Luke, is the writer of Acts and picks up the narrative of the resurrected Jesus where he left off in his Gospel. Acts 1, 1 through 14. I wrote this first narrative, Theophilus, all about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up. After he had given orders through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. After he was together with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise. This, he said, is what you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom of Israel at this time? He said to them, this is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come to you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he had said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and the cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing into heaven, and suddenly two men in white clothes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the heaven? This Jesus who had been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount they call Mount of Olives, which is now Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they arrived, they went to the room upstairs where they had been staying. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. All these were continuously united in prayer, along with the women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and all his brothers. Yes.
Can you think of this? What Mike just read. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. In Acts chapter 1, you know, Luke gives a little more of a picture of what happened after Jesus was resurrected. He came, he spoke with the disciples. He, as we know from the Gospels, he ate with them, he drank, he was in their presence, talked with them. At this point in time, he came to them, and Luke gives us kind of the rest of the story. Before we get into that any further, though, I'd like to kind of change direction a little bit. I had the wonderful privilege this past week of being with the state representatives of the Baptist General Association of Virginia. We are a Virginia Baptist church, and I have the privilege of being on the Mission Council, and I got to hang out with other lay and leaders and pastors from around the state. I'm very happy to hear many of the things that the BGAV is involved with. One of those things is church planting. Some years ago, not very long ago, we didn't have very many church planters through our state. And they had a tough time getting church planters. God laid on some of the church planting leaders' hearts to start a conference called Praxis. Last year, they had over 220 church planters showing up to that conference. They've become now one of the leading church planting conferences in the nation. They, through that, pick, I think they said, 40 church planters each year, and they have to go through a rigorous training. Because see, church plants, often within 3 to 5 years, they start and they die. Well, that's not good statistics, so VGAV wanted to see what they could do to change that. And part of it comes through training, mentorship, and things like that. So the 40 that they choose and that agree to be a part of this program, they go through extensive training and mentoring. I believe it's for about 2 years that they have to do this before they go into fully planting churches. And they have found now that the church plants have staying power. And that's impressive, isn't it? They have another ministry called New Expressions. And these are, we have a lot of people in our communities, especially in our cities, that they don't go to church and they're not going to go to church. And so how can we take the church to them? Because we are to be the church. And so we have these new expressions that are cropping up. And honestly, if you heard some of them, you go, that's a little weird, seemingly. But it's reaching people for Jesus Christ. It's bringing people to God's Word in discipleship. One of those is a church up in, I believe it's Alexandria. They started a thing called Seven Tables. Basically, it's most of the people at the church had like one-room apartments and that kind of stuff. And so they just decided to start doing community Bible studies, inviting people in just to come to their apartment once a month. Now, many of those Bible studies are running 20 and 30 people in a one-bedroom apartment coming in every month. One particular group that one of the leaders of Expressions, Fresh Expressions, not New Expressions, Fresh Expressions, he told about one particular group that once a month wasn't enough, so now they are every other week that they meet. And then in the off weeks, they choose a restaurant to go to. Now listen to this. This is something we could do. They choose, in the off week, they choose a restaurant to show up once a week. They show up with the express purpose to go sit at tables two by two throughout the restaurant in order to meet people around them and just share what they're there for. And, you know, they're there to eat, of course, but just share what's going on in their life and how God's a part of their life. And guess what's happening? Their group's growing from that. Pretty neat, isn't it? But to hear these things happening through our state association, when we give our money, that's what we give. Part of our giving goes to spreading the gospel. One of the Fresh Expressions they talked about was a Navy chaplain. Well, actually what it was really was a seaman on a ship. And God had just been laying on his heart to do a particular thing. I honestly didn't catch all of it, but it was really neat because he went with the chaplain, who happened to be a Baptist, I believe a Virginia Baptist chaplain, and he got with that chaplain, and they started this thing, and on just one tour, they started this Fresh Expression on the ship, and two other Navy seamen accepted Jesus as Christ as Savior of their life. What an awesome, powerful thing. And these are things that our state is highly involved in. In addition to that, they're involved in missions in North America. And we are seeing through church plants throughout our nation, but also through churches hearing about what we're doing here in this state and just really desiring to be part of the unity of the Virginia Baptists. It's unprecedented what they're seeing and hearing about in other states, and we're talking as far as California, yes, and they're asking to be part of our association because they just don't have it where they're at. And we're helping to support this, and it's a beautiful thing. We also are very involved in foreign missions. Hubie, you all know Hubie. Hubie, raise your hand. All right, Hubie up here. Now he's a young, what, 90, almost 92, right? Right? Almost 93. Oh man. See, you just don't even look that old, so I couldn't even put you that old, yeah. But almost 93 years old. And Hubie, how many mission trips have you been on?
13.
13, and what age did you start?
I believe I got 45
or so. And how many did you do since after you turned 80?
I celebrated my 75th birthday in Kenya.
Okay. 75th birthday celebrated in Kenya.
Yeah. And been to Carnival since then in South Africa.
So he's been about on three or four mission trips from his 75th birthday to today. Foreign mission trips. These things are sponsored by our state association and our local association, Goshen Baptist Association. So these are things that we support when we give here at Zora Baptist Church. These mission trips, what we do in missions is our local and state association, they partner with pastors, national pastors who are already living in the area. I had the privilege, my oldest son and I had the privilege of working in Panama where Hubie had been, working with the Baptist, Panama Baptist Convention down there, association down there. And we got to help with the training of pastors and their families during a retreat. And it was just a wonderful thing where we're helping them do ministry. We're not just going down there throwing, you know, work and money at stuff. We're actually going there and helping them be better at ministering the gospel to the people that I can't speak to because I'm not fluent in Spanish. And right now, our associations are partnering with Romania. And with the church association in Romania, we're working with the Ruth School that helps educate gypsy children, which honestly the Romanians care nothing about. But we do. I should say we do. Actually, Ruth School was already there, supported by nationals, and we have come in to partner with them. There's a seminary that's training national pastors. It's a national cemetery. Sometimes you might think so. It depends on how boring the teacher is, I guess. Seminary. It's a Romanian seminary, and they're training pastors to go throughout. It's based in Bucharest, but these pastors are throughout the country of Romania. And we get to come there as pastors, and we get to do workshops that help give them credit units and so forth. And we're partnering with them. See, our monies then, our missions monies and our efforts are going towards things that are truly worthwhile. Again, it's not like mission trips I've seen in the past where a bunch of Americans show up like heroes trying to save the day, you know, building a little school room and throwing a bunch of money at people and then leaving. It's not like that. Now, there are some things that we can do where we can help them. And not like in Panama, they have to have walls around their church properties. And I won't get into the reasons and all, but they really do. And so we had people that went down and worked on walls. Well, guess what that did, though? By them building the wall, it freed the pastor. Most of the pastors down there work one or two other jobs. Freed the pastors and some of the lay people to actually go minister instead of having to build their wall. And a few of the more expert Panamanians, they would be there helping and supervising with the wall. Well, what a great partnership that is that we have. That is a large picture of the unification of the body of Jesus Christ. I think that's beautiful. Because to unify, when we unify and become united, we stand. Right? Isn't that what we say? That's a great saying, right? United we stand, divided we... Do you all believe that? How many families divided stay together? They don't, they fall. Families need to be united. How many of our bodies, if our body starts dividing against itself, Karen, you're talking about cancer, right? Cancer is our own body dividing against itself. And what happens if we don't get that taken care of? We fall, right? Man, unity is so important. And so I was privileged, as I said, to be a part of that. You see, Charles Schulz, y'all know Charles Schulz, he's the writer of the comic strip The Peanuts, right? I love The Peanuts. And I can't always pick a favorite character. Sometimes it just depends on what mood I'm in. But maybe your favorite would be Lucy. Now Lucy, in one particular comic strip, she demanded that Linus change the TV channel. Linus didn't want to change the TV channel, so she started threatening him with her fist and said, if he didn't, she went like this. And he said, "What makes you think you can walk right in here and take over?" asks Linus. "These five fingers," says Lucy, "individually, they're nothing. But when I curl them together like this into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold." "Which channel do you want?" asks Linus. Turning away, he looks at his fingers and says, "Why can't you guys get organized like that?" Last week we started a new series titled, Because of the Resurrection. We started by considering the disciples and then ourselves by exploring the response, because of the resurrection. Today we will see the unity because of the resurrection. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? Holy God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you did not just send your son to die for our sins and be buried and raised from the dead, but you came with a plan. And that plan was not to leave us alone, but to give us a body, to give us strength in the unification of that body, to be able to go about your purpose for our lives. I pray that you'll be lifted up, that your word will multiply in our hearts and lives, that we will be instructed today through your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, hopefully you're in Acts already, so I'd like to ask you to turn to Acts chapter 4. Now, our scripture reading today was from Acts chapter 1, and this was part of the account of the events for the 40 days just following Jesus' resurrection. As can be understood from the passages, the disciples see the resurrected Jesus, and they still think that Jesus is going to physically and bodily rally the troops and take over Rome and then establish his kingdom forever on this earth at that time. And of course, we know that Jesus said, "No, got another plan for you guys." And if one continues to read in Acts chapter 1, you'll see that when Jesus said, "No, I want you to wait," they had to wait for 10 days more after Jesus ascended into heaven. And they had to wait for 10 days, and then after 10 days, as you read through the first parts of Acts, they received the promised Holy Spirit. They not only received the Holy Spirit, but they received power. And it was accompanied his presence. The disciples went out into Jerusalem the moment they received the Holy Spirit. And by the way, when we say disciples here, it was actually about 120 of them as opposed to just the 12. And they went out into Jerusalem with power and the ability to speak in languages that they previously did not possess. And more than 3,000 Jews there in Jerusalem at that time believed the message they gave of Jesus and his resurrection, that Jesus was and is the Messiah. Now in chapter 4, we'll be skipping a bit of this narrative, and I'd really like to read what happened next because of the resurrection. So Acts chapter 4, and you'll skip on down to verse 32, if you would, please. We're just going to read verses 32 and 33. Now the large group of those who believed were of one heart and mind, and no one said that any of his possessions was his own, but instead they held everything in common. And the apostles were giving testimony with great power to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was on all of them. This large number of brand new believers were unified. They were unified by grace because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. All of us who have confessed our sinfulness before God, have called upon Jesus to be Lord of our lives, Savior of our eternity, believing that Jesus is physically and spiritually alive, we all have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same Holy Spirit power and grace to be unified with one another, both heart and mind. I've talked a little of this before. I've had friends through the years that were just super close, and as I started looking at it and we would talk, we realized we had absolutely nothing in common, yet we hung out together as often as we could. We would talk for hours because our unification was in the resurrected Lord Jesus, and our conversations were about Him and the results of life and of living for Him and so forth. But when it came to anything else, we really had nothing in common. One guy, he's all into cars and working on them and all that kind of stuff. And me, I'm into taking it to the mechanic. You know? We just didn't have a lot in common. But we had Jesus in common. We were unified through the Holy Spirit in power and in grace. I'm sure if you know Jesus, you've experienced this as well. And so God desires. No, God expects. He expects His children, those grafted in, adopted into as heirs of His kingdom with Jesus Christ, He expects us to be unified even through the most difficult circumstances. Wayne talked about our daily bread. I highly recommend, if whether you have a quiet time or not, this would be an addition to your quiet time. If you don't have a quiet time, 5 minutes of reading. You can add some of the scriptures they have in here, about 10 minutes of reading. You'll get scripture, you'll get things that will really make you think, things that will really very possibly change your life. A story written in Our Daily Bread years ago was this. During World War II, Hitler commanded all religious groups to unite so that he could control them. Among the Brethren assemblies, half complied and half refused. Those who went along with the order had a much easier time. Those who did not faced harsh persecution. In almost every family of those who resisted, someone died in a concentration camp. When the war was over, feelings of bitterness ran deep between the groups, and there was much tension. Finally, the two groups decided that the situation had to be healed. Leaders from each group met at a quiet retreat. For several days, each person spent time in prayer, examining his own heart in the light of Christ's commands. Then they came together. Francis Schaeffer, who told of the incident, asked a friend who was there, "What did you do then?" "We were just one," he replied. as they confessed their hostility and bitterness to God and yielded to His control, the Holy Spirit created a spirit of unity among them. Love filled their hearts and dissolved their hatred. When love prevails among believers, especially in times of strong disagreement, it presents to the world an indisputable mark of a true follower of Jesus Christ. It's hard to imagine a more difficult circumstance from which to gain unity than the one these post-World War II Christians had to face. And yet, with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the power of His grace, it was achieved. The question may be asked at this point by us: how do we gain such unity? Now, I'm not necessarily talking about here at Georgia Baptist Church, though that is definitely a big part of it, but I'm talking about the body of Christ in, say, Locust Grove, in Orange, because we have other believers that don't attend here, but they truly are believers in Christ. It's important to note that these post-World War II Christian brothers and sisters, first of all, they came together. Assembling together is important. It's important for us as believers to assemble together, even when we have differences. But they came together. But as they came together, then as individuals, they prayed and examined their hearts. They confessed. They yielded individually to God's control. And then they were unified through God's love. Prayer is at the center of a peaceful, love-filled heart of unity. As we saw from our scripture reading today, from Acts chapter 1, the disciples stayed together. But it wasn't an idle hangout for them, but it was one of purpose in prayer. As we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, all these, that is, the disciples, were continually united in prayer, along with the women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and His brothers. We've heard that statement, a family that prays together stays together. Though it sounds trite, many of you are a testament to how true it is. It is very true. So to answer the question, how do we have unity? It starts with prayer. Listen to this, though. Like our post-World War II brothers and sisters, it starts with prayer for ourselves in self-examination. Prayer in confession of ourselves in view of Jesus' commands. A few weeks ago, I talked often of God's economy. Jesus' commands are part of God's economy. And so it's in prayer and self-examination of ourselves, then confessing what we've examined and fell short to God's economy, Jesus' commands. And then have concern for the position of others and praying for them. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. Therefore, God's chosen ones, holy and loved, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Listen to this. Accepting one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. I can't imagine being, especially on the side of these Christians that were in full conviction and belief that God said, no, I am not going to kowtow to this man Hitler. And they went against it and they paid dearly. Those alive probably just missed death. And as we understand, most all of them experienced the death of their loved ones because of it. Yet to come together with these that lived in relative comfort because they chose not to follow that same conviction. That's a difficult point to unify, don't you think? And yet they were able to, through the power, Holy Spirit-powered grace, allowing God's love to flow in their hearts and lives. Here in Colossians, Paul teaches that we must gain for ourselves, in order to be able to have unity with other believing brothers and sisters, we must gain compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, acceptance, and forgiveness. Just like our brothers and sisters I read about. The Apostle Paul knew the power of God's kind of love. He knew the kind of power it had on unification. So we may continue to read then in Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, says, Paul said, above all, put on love, the perfect bond of unity. Jesus loved the people who hated him. Jesus loved the people who killed him. That's the kind of love that is God's love. Kind of makes everything else nothing. The next thing these post-World War II Christians realized was their need to allow God to be in complete control. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, now I urge you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree in what you say, that there be no divisions among you, and that you be united with the same understanding and the same conviction. Now, Paul is speaking in the basis of God's economy, God's commands, and Jesus' commands, not in their whims to agree, not in their whims to not be divided, but in God. So unity is not a new teaching. God expected unity from anyone. Even in the Old Testament, He expected unity of all those who went under His standard, His flag, so to speak. We can read about this in Psalm chapter 133, verse 1. It says, how good and pleasant is it when brothers live together in harmony. Or 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 12. Also, the power of God was at work in Judah to unite them to carry out the command of the king and his officials by the word of the Lord. God wants us to unify under His commands and unify as a people, as a body. And so we read then what Jesus stated in John chapter 17, verse 23. In a prayer, He said, I am in them, and you, that is Father God, are in me. May they be made completely one, so the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. There's something powerful here. If we as a Christian body, yes, here at Zor, but I'm talking here in our community, if we do not come together on the absolutes of God's Word, I'm not talking about unifying on things that are contrary to God's Word, but unifying on the things that are of the absolutes of God's Word, and people can see that unity, then they are seeing Christ. They are seeing Jesus, who they desperately need. It is the desire of our Savior to be unified with God Himself and each other. In A.W. Tozer's book, The Pursuit of God, he wrote this. Has it ever occurred to you that 100 pianos, all tuned to the same tuning fork, are automatically tuned to each other. They are of one accord by being tuned not to each other, but to another standard to which each one must individually bow. So 100 worshipers meeting together, each one individually looking away to Christ, are then in heart nearer to each other than they could possibly be if they were to become unity conscious and turn their eyes away from God to strive for closer fellowship. The tuning fork for our lives is the resurrected Jesus. If we fix our gaze on each other and we determine to be unified before we look to Jesus, we will be divided. We will be divided. However, because of the resurrection, individually, our mental, emotional, and spiritual gaze must be on Jesus. When this happens, He being our tuning fork and the tuning fork for our life, then we will be in tune with each other. As Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, "Therefore I, the prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you've received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, accepting one another in love, diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit with the peace that binds us. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all." Focusing on the one Lord is the way to true unity among believers. This Wednesday, we'll be gathering for the first Wednesday East Orange Community Church Fellowship. I want to urge you, if you are free at noon this Wednesday, meet us at Antioch Baptist Church. If you need directions, we can help you with that. By we, I mean myself, any of the ladies up here. Raise your hand if you know how to get there. How many of you know? Just chat with any of these folks. They'll help you. Hold on. We'll get to that. Okay? But this is a time when we gather with, was it five other churches, four other churches? From Locust Grove area. Locust Grove and Unionville. And Rhodesville. And we get together and unify under the banner of Jesus Christ and His Word. We have a great time. It's about 30 to 40 minute service, and then we eat. Hey, who doesn't like to eat, right? Doesn't cost you a dime. Just come on in and join us noon every first Wednesday. This Wednesday's at Antioch. We move around to the different churches. And I hope that you can do that. Unity is not gained alone, you see. You can't say, "I'm unified," and never meet with the people you say you're unified with. If you don't hang around them, you're not unified. You can say, "Well, my gaze is on Jesus, their gaze is on Jesus, we're unified." No. You've got to be around each other to be unified. You've got to be in fellowship. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. "And He personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the training of the saints in the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness." If we don't come together, we're not going to get trained. That's one of the privileges God has given me, to be able to help train and equip those who call upon the Lord Jesus as their Lord. But not just that. Now here we go, Michelle. We have Sunday school teachers. We have Sunday school teachers that meet an hour earlier than our service. They come about 9:45 we start. And they come, and we have a group that meets here, and we have a group that meets out in the modular. And they teach God's Word to help us focus on Jesus and help us to do it individually and together with Jesus as our tuning fork. And then we also have, on Wednesday mornings at 10 o'clock in the modular, we have our Bible study. And we have a great time. Right now, we're going through the book of Acts. We're towards the end, but you can come, and trust me, it's not as though you've missed anything. Because it's very discussion-based, and we just pick up where we're at. And come and be a part of that, 10 o'clock on Wednesday mornings. It will help in unifying us as believers. You will gain much from it. You see, none of us have arrived in the unity of our faith. It takes believers getting together. Vesta Kelly once said, "Snowflakes are one of nature's most fragile things. But just look at what they can do when they stick together." Yeah, we've seen it. The bottom line is for us to gain a weapon like Lucy from the Peanuts. Let us continually pray, a prayer of self-examination. Let us have the willingness to confess, then, as we examine ourselves, confess our sins before Almighty God. Then seek His control. Focus then on the tuning fork that is Jesus Christ. And then watch the Holy Spirit-powered grace work with power in your life, in this church, and in our community. We will be a force, a terrible force, but not terrible in the terrible way, but a terrible force of peace and love, against which the evil of our world, the evil of our community, will not stand. The challenge for us this week is for us to do that very thing that will help us to have power, so we don't have to say like Linus, "Why can't we get organized?" But we can say like Lucy, and we can say, "Oh yes, I'm going to pray, self-examine. I'm going to confess those things that God brings to my mind. I'm going to relinquish my control to His. I'm going to keep my gaze on Jesus this week. And I'm going to let the Holy Spirit prove His power of grace in my life as I bring the power of peace and God's love to this community, to my home, to my neighborhood, to my family." Let's pray. Holy God, I thank You so much for Your Word. I thank You, Jesus, that there was never a plan for You to stay dead, but You rose from the dead. And because of Your resurrection, we can be unified in one faith, under one Lord, under one God, under one King of all. May we set our gaze on You. May we be willing, each of us, this week to examine ourselves, to confess before You those things that keep us from letting You have control. May we be determined to seek Jesus through Your Word, maybe by grabbing a daily bread and making it a part of our daily life, so that we can seek You, Jesus, as our tuning fork. And then, Holy Spirit, may we then be open for Your power of grace. May it be seen even this week in our own lives, in our families, in our neighborhoods, at our work, our schools, in our community. May we be a force to which evil cannot reckon. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Without our pianist today, we will be singing hymn 503. There's just three verses. If we can stand and sing these, and if you are desiring to just talk with me or pray with me, I'm going to ask that you come forward and do that. And let's start. Start or continue building unity in the body of Christ right here at Zora Baptist Church. Please stand and sing. Now I belong to Jesus. Hopefully I can get this right as we go. Okay. Jesus, my Lord, will... That's too high. Too high. Sorry. Let me try that again because we're going to be up there. Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From Him no power of evil can sever. He gave His life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Verse 2.
Once I was lost in sin's degradation, Jesus came down to bring me salvation, lifted me up with sorrow and shame. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Joy fills my soul.
This is a time that's a lot of fun. This is Holly. Have to stand the legs here. This is Holly Jones. Holly Jones was recently baptized here, and I had the privilege of talking with Holly and hearing her testimony of salvation. And of course, she came as witness through the waters of baptism of her salvation just a few weeks ago. And she would like to be a member of Zora Baptist Church. So for those of you who are members, if you would like to accept her as a member of Zora Baptist Church, she is coming, of course, being saved and then baptized. And I'd like you to raise your right hand and say aye.
Aye.
Now, if you oppose, well, chat with me later in the discussion. All right. Holly, I believe that if it wasn't unanimous, it certainly was enough to carry the vote. So you are. May God bless you. May God keep you. May God unify you with the body of Christ here at Zora and in our community as we keep our gaze on Jesus, our ultimate King. God bless you all.